This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Connison with Kusa Chuang and Noah Lim in the studio this morning. And in about half an hour, we've got The Breakfast Grill. And I'll be speaking with Wong Wai Kan, country manager for Malaysia, Stashaway. And if you don't know, Stashaway is a digital wealth platform, more commonly known as a robo-advisor. So I'll be talking to Ken about their growth in Malaysia, dealing with the new and old competition, and basically whether it can cope with the unprecedented uncertainty in the economic landscape. So all of this in half an hour. It should be an exciting time. Right now, though, let's talk about even more exciting news. China relations with the rest of the world. And right now, we're focusing on Taiwan. Last week, Taiwanese president was sworn in for her second term after her landslide win during the presidential elections held in January this year. She used her inauguration speech to signal to China that she was open to work together to stabilize cross-strait relations, but remained firm in her rejection of the one country, two systems policy.
Yeah, so I think relations between China and Taiwan were not always the greatest during her first term. And I think she's taken quite a fairly strong stance. The differing narrative on China and Taiwan's approaches, for example, in the COVID-19, also kind of sort of exacerbate some tensions here. And I think to rub salt into the wound, I think the US and Taiwan also seem to have some really quite a good relationship going on.
Yes, and also not to forget that in amongst of this, we've got the Hong Kong situation as well.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, this is interesting because Taiwan, I think China wants Taiwan to be part of the same kind of like broad system that it let Hong Kong operate under, which is one country, two systems, right? So when the new Taiwan, well, when the re-elected Taiwanese president Tsai Ing-wen was sworn in earlier this month, Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, tweeted congratulations to Taiwan, then to which Beijing responded by saying that's not nice, it's wrong and very dangerous. And we know in the wake of that tweet what China has done to Hong Kong and how dangerous that can be. We can see something brewing here, which is obviously not the most positive of all.
Yeah, I just also want to add very quickly, Taiwan did really well in, I mean, its economic growth last year, and I think that helped the president's chances of winning. But you know, Taiwan has been the biggest beneficiary in the U.S.-China trade war. A lot of production was diverted to Taiwan and it boosted the exports to U.S. So I think it really made sense for Taiwan to be, you know, good friends with the U.S.
And for a better understanding of the political dynamic between China and Taiwan, we speak to Professor Steve Sung, Director of China Institute at the University of London's School of Oriental and African Studies. Now, Professor, thank you so much for joining us today. How has the pandemic impacted relations between China and Taiwan?
Well, to begin with, the relationship between China and Taiwan was not good even before COVID-19 started. Xi Jinping has taken the view that Tsai Ing-wen, the leader in Taiwan, essentially wants to be an independentist, and therefore he wants to punish her and Taiwan for that. COVID-19 makes things much more difficult for the relationship, mainly because, as you say, the Taiwanese have done very, very well indeed. In fact, Taiwan is probably the only country that can say it handled COVID-19 well from the very beginning. And with the Chinese claiming Taiwan as part of China, it makes an enormous contrast to the earlier failings and irresponsible management of COVID-19 on Beijing's part. And the success of Taiwan, therefore, is particularly irritating to Beijing. And at some stage, they will seek to punish Taiwan for that.
Is Tsai's ultimate goal to secure Taiwan's independence from China, or is her position more pragmatic?
Taiwan's position under President Tsai Ing-wen is a very well-calibrated and responsible one. Its position is quite simply that, A, Taiwan has its own independent existence in the name of the Republic of China since 1949, and therefore there is no issue of Taiwan having to declare independence from China, because it has never been part of the People's Republic of China. And yet, she is, this is the second point, very willing and ready to engage constructively in its relationship with Beijing, as long as Beijing does not require Xi and her government to accept sovereignty from Beijing.
China and Taiwan have not had senior level communication since Tsai Ing-wen's first term as president. Has the political freeze affected socio-economic ties between them?
Well, in terms of economic and social context, Taiwan and mainland China maintain very, very close, perhaps even integrated economic and social links. There are well over a million, and by some estimations, close to 2 million Taiwanese living or working in mainland of China at any time. That is an enormous number considering Taiwan's total population is only 23 million. In terms of the economic links, companies like Huawei, a national champion in quotation marks in terms of the PLC, can only operate and flourish because of the supply and support of Taiwanese companies like TSMC, because most of Huawei's chips come from this Taiwanese company. So we're talking about very, very close economic relationships. The Chinese government under Xi Jinping had, since Tsai Ing-wen became president in Taiwan 4 years ago for the first time, stopped Chinese tourists going to Taiwan in general terms. And that was meant to be an economic lever being applied to put pressure on Taiwan. And that kind of shows that until the Tsai Ing-wen administration, Chinese tourist in Taiwan was a very important part of Taiwan's tourism industry.
Now, do you see China-Taiwan economic relationships relations deteriorating as a result of COVID-19 and the heightened tensions between the two?
The economic relationship between China and Taiwan is unlikely to be too badly affected by the heightening of tensions, because that's already happened for 4 years. And the main change were those that were specifically required and ordered by the Xi Jinping administration. At the commercial level, Taiwanese and mainland Chinese companies want to work together and take advantage of the complementarity. Now, having said that, I think we also have to acknowledge that one of the side effects of COVID-19 is that we are going to see an increase in the decoupling between China and the US-centered economies. And here, we are likely to see the Taiwanese drifting closer to the American side than to the Chinese side, for the simple reason that the pressure that the Americans will put on companies like TSMC will require them to get license, for example, from the US government before they can supply certain types of their chips that were made with American technology to companies like Huawei. So we're going to see some element of that decoupling affecting the cross-strait relationships. We're also going to see some of the multinationals that have invested heavily in China potentially shifting some of their operations to Taiwan because they found China being a much more difficult place to work and much less profitable place to work in the changing situation of the post-COVID world.
Well, as you mentioned, the Trump administration appears to be somewhat friendly towards President Tsai. Is this a help or hindrance for Taiwan vis-a-vis China?
Well, the Trump administration is not the best friends that Taiwan could have in the current situation. But it's a complex matter for Taiwan because the government in Taiwan would and will have to welcome any kind of articulation of support from any U.S. administration. So the kind of language that is being used by the Trump administration, including Pompeo, is very much welcomed in Taiwan. But they're also very much aware that the Trump administration has a tendency to do these sort of things at the expense of U.S. allies. And in the end, Taiwan will probably end up being punished by Beijing because of what the Trump administration has done on matters that the Chinese government cannot punish the Trump administration directly. So they are probably seeing that with a bit of mixed feelings, but nonetheless, any kind of positive message coming out from Washington, particularly from the executive branch, the administration, would be very welcome. The Taiwanese also know that the U.S. Congress is very strongly in support of Taiwan. So moving forward, whatever happens with the U.S. presidential elections in November, I think they would feel fairly confident that the United States would continue to be more supportive of Taiwan than previously.
China's been flexing its military muscles over Taiwan, and the rhetoric from some quarters has also been quite aggressive. How concerned are you over the possibility of tensions deteriorating into armed conflict?
That depends on the time frame you have in mind. If we are looking at something like 20 years, I think the risk of a military conflict would be very high indeed. The Chinese government has made it clear they will do whatever it takes. And if Xi Jinping remains in power in China in 20 years' time, and with the massive build-up of naval and amphibian capacity that the Chinese military are engaging in, they may well have the capacity to launch an invasion in about or less than 20 years' time. But if we are looking at immediate situation, then it would be still extremely difficult for the Chinese to mount such an operation with a reasonable degree of success at a cost that would be acceptable to them. If they have the military capabilities to do so, I think the risk would be significant. But given that they really don't have the military capacities to do so, I would still think that we are not going to see that happen in the short to immediate term.
And on that note, Professor, thank you so much for your time. That was Professor Steve Stang, Director of the China Institute at the University of London there. And just before we move on, a little bit about Hong Kong. We were talking about this at 6:30 a.m. But really, what we've seen there is Beijing is planning to impose a controversial new security law there. And China has also criminalized the use, ridicule of its national anthem. And we're seeing this play into the U.S.-China tensions with the U.S. not considering Hong Kong essentially independent.
Well, it's all tied into how the Chinese are approaching the region, right? China was allowing Hong Kong to operate independently until the independence movement really started to gain momentum last year. And now it's really showing its true colors in terms of how it's approaching, a draconian way of approaching the whole conflict. I mean, this is really a big issue that us in the region have to be aware of going forward.
And right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Dr. Oi Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs on Malaysian politics. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.